So basically, I'd like to start maybe just some kind of background context about, like maybe what you do, like what you're like, well, I don't know, just like where education and kind of just
My
context
background.
that would inform where you, like kind of what would influence you to hear about different jokes or different folklore.
Okay, so you want some of my background?
Yeah, so just general
Yeah.
about you.
Okay, so I was born in Sweden, and I was educated in Sweden all the way up to my PhD, although I spent 1 year in London as a graduate student. I have a very formal education, so I don't think that professors in Sweden in the 70s made a lot of jokes, for example. So in terms of spicing up a lecture, I'm not sure I can remember any jokes. The only time we laughed as undergraduates was when the professor either stumbled or unintentionally provided some amusement that they hadn't planned. Anyhow, in grad school, I had to do or give a lot of lectures. And the reason was I was in Sweden doing research on something that was just started to become a big area in the world, nonlinear optics. And there was no one in Sweden who had done it. So if I wanted to learn more about nonlinear optics, I had to give the class, and then others took it. And early on, my friends said, you really have to spice up your lectures. So having jokes as part of lectures became a thing early on. And then in late 1989, I came to Dartmouth. And in terms of jokes in the classroom, which, by the way, I'll come back to because I believe in it, the first joke I did, winter of 1990, halfway through the joke, I realized to appreciate it, you had to be fluent in Swedish and English. So I just had to stop, and it was a bit of a fiasco. But other than that, I've been told that you can't just lecture on forever, and you need to have something that breaks up a lecture. And some kind of joke now and then is, I think, is appropriate. And I also think it makes the students less sort of distant from the professor. It's like, well, if he can be that silly, maybe he's not that dangerous. And it provides a bit of a sort of rapport or something. So anyhow, and then this is important, and this is folklore. So in Sweden, so I was born in Gothenburg, and it's the second largest city in Sweden. And I think it's correct to say that everyone in Sweden recognizes that my hometown is the place where the most puns are being made. And we grow up in that part of the world making jokes, making fun of things, not taking things too seriously, and particularly word puns. So this was a challenge for me when I left Sweden, came to America, because I didn't have the language right. And even if you can speak technically and you can speak in various circumstances, this thing about making a word pun, you truly have to have a command of the language. And this was a difficulty for me in the beginning, because that took away part of my personality, because in Swedish, I make puns all the time. But I started with it, and the first victims was, of course, my family, but I have now established that the bad jokes is something Dad does. And I've gotten good enough that even my own kids now and then smiles or whatever. So anyhow, I worked hard at it, and I always appreciate a good joke. So I have one joke that I really like. It's not particularly in favor of engineers, but it represents something I think is cool, and that is that clever people get a little bit ahead. So should I
Yeah,
tell the
sure,
joke?
yeah.
Okay, so what we have here is an engineer, and the engineer And it's very appropriate to do it this way. This is not how I first heard it, but in my retelling of this joke, the engineer is this macho male, and his opponent that he's going to compete against is a female mathematician. And the whole thing is that they are going to try, from the time the sun comes up to the time the sun sets, they're going to try to fence in the largest area. And the engineer thinks he's going to win because he's this big, strong man, but he also prepares himself. So he makes sure he has a lot of posts, he has a lot of barbed wire, he looks at the terrain, you know, I don't want to go up in that direction because that's going to be more work, and he really thinks this through to get the biggest area. The female mathematician is a little bit more or less a fair, and it's like, not too worried, yeah, I have a few posts, some barbed wire, it's going to be fine. Okay, the day comes, engineer is ready, he gets started immediately. And the female mathematician, she also gets up, she puts a few posts in and puts some barbed wire around it, and then she has a parasol and she goes and sits under it because it's a hot sun, and there she sits and sips some lemonade or whatever most of the day, eats and reads math books. The sun sets and the judge says, you know, the engineer managed by running the last bit with a barbed wire, get around the first post and really enclosing this area. And the referee says, well, it's pretty clear who won. And the female mathematician says, no, wait a minute. She jumps in to her little fencing thing and she says, I define this as outside. Yeah. So that was the joke. And I like it because it's clever.
Yeah.
And in this day and age, I can make it a woman that is the one that is the smartest and that can beat a big, strong man because she's smarter. So there are many things that I like about the joke, even though it mm-hmm. didn't start off that way. It started off with a cowboy and just an ordinary person. That's how it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's
yeah.
Yeah. That does come up. I mean, I feel like just in kind of in general, I was thinking about this when I was doing this project, is that there are a lot of jokes that I feel like a lot of cases the more traditional jokes often will kind of disparage women in engineering, and that's some of the people I've talked to have come up with ones like, you know, kind of making fun of. Well, it's almost always the engineer is a man, and actually,
mm-hmm.
But it's kind of interesting how he just kind of reverses the whole scenario.
But that has happened
yeah.
over time, and I also, one of my children is a woman, and my wife is a woman, and they make sure I do the right thing.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like when I was talking to my mom about this, she started out as an engineer in college, and she has some old textbooks that are just like super sexist engineering
mm-hmm.
textbooks. You know, like, yeah, it's that it shows that it has definitely been a problem in the past with engineering.
One that may not be so good for women is a joke that I heard from a colleague recently, and that is the wife of an engineer says to her husband, when you come home tonight, can you go by the grocery store and pick up a pint of milk? And if they have eggs, pick up a dozen. And he comes home in the evening with 12 pints of milk. And she goes, why did you buy 12 pints of milk? And he says, because they had eggs. Anyhow,
yeah.
I don't think that, maybe his grammar was better than hers, but that's about it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you mentioned the first one, you probably, I think you can kind of mention that you tell it in like a class, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that's true? I mean, I feel like you almost didn't. You said the second one in our class this semester, I believe.
I did.
I thought so.
I don't remember. This is something.
So that's also the context
yeah.
where you tell that one.
Mm-hmm.
But you. Yes. Yeah, so is that mainly where you these jokes? Or do you?
Other than my family,
mm-hmm.
I do jokes, and the one that I did in the beginning with the right hand side of the plane, which. When I told Professor Eric Hansen that I was going to teach control theory, he immediately goes, I have a joke for you, okay? So I thought I better tell the class that joke. What I didn't realize that in the beginning of the class, you didn't appreciate it, because this thing about stable systems and poles on the right-hand side, I hadn't taught you yet, right? And there wasn't a lot of success with this story. But I don't know if you heard that, but there was 2-3 weeks in, there was someone in the class who said, I think I get your joke now.
Yeah. So, that joke, I feel like the one you told us, I had heard that joke a similar joke.
Okay.
A long time ago, and that's actually one of the reasons I wanted to do this project was, but I feel like the one you told was slightly different. What is the one you told about, like a plane with
yes,
all these people
so
on it?
Yes, so an aeroplane. So the reason why the aeroplane went down was that all the poles were on the right-hand side. Yes.
So that was actually, that joke, yeah, I remember you telling that in class, but I forgot.
But I did it too early. You know, I was so keen on telling this great joke from Professor Hansen, right?
Yeah, I heard that one a couple of years ago somewhere, actually, and I didn't understand it, at the time. I looked it up, but I, didn't really appreciate it, and it's kind of one of those classes, the same idea.
But now you do.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That one that one's in a different sense. It's kind of like, it's funny because you have specialized knowledge about it.
Yes, and I guess another thing I mentioned to my wife, who is, we're both professor of physics, really, or physics is our background, and so we're both nerds. And there are a lot of things that our children, none went into real science, probably because of the parents, and they groan when we have this. So we say, oh, that person at work today, he or she went nonlinear, which not... typical people don't say. This distinction between linear and nonlinear doesn't matter. We often say, is this working? Well, to first order, we say that at home. And we have all these sort of technical phrases that really is only appreciated by someone with the same education. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's something that happens. I'm sure if there is a husband and wife, there are lawyers, I'm sure they have some legal jokes or whatever, that you have to have a certain vocabulary to truly appreciate. And I'm sure medical doctors have it. But anyhow, yes, so there's a lot of that little stuff that goes on at home.
Yeah, so you actually use the first order in a lot of contexts in class.
I do. And maybe it's bad. We all get phrases that we get stuck on, and it's hard to teach, because all of a sudden the students hear the same kinds of words and you don't want that, but it just happens.
I don't think it's everyone does that.
Right, but it's very, you have not the same kind of intent, other than with family and really close friends, that kind of intense relationship that you have with the professor for 9 weeks. You get quite close, and there's many times a week. So if that professor has certain kinds of habits, they can become irritable after a while, right? So, yeah.
Well, I think that's, I mean, in regards to these ones, I think that's most, you really give a good overview of